Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking ice fishing with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy. And then we also got a great interview with our local fish biologist, Max Walter. And then lastly, some great walleye tips from walleye tournament pro Chase Parsons. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Get out and hit the trails with the Polaris New Year's sales event at Hayward Power Sports. Hurry in for rebates up to $2,000 on the last few remaining 2018s. Meanwhile, the 2019 Polaris snowmobile lineup offers a two-year limited warranty on select models and financing as low as 3.99%. Plus, if you have young riders, check out the Polaris Indy Evo, the trail-ready sled built specifically to transform new riders into confident riders, starting at just $52.99. Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great selection of mouth-watering steaks, as well as many varieties of brat sausages and much more. Along with that, Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, summer sausage, cheese curds, and homemade jerky, as well as great double-smoked bacon. Lynn's is open Mondays to Fridays from 9 to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 4, and closed Sundays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering, next to Cooper's Family Restaurant in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and helping co-host today, I've got Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy, who works part-time down here at the shop, or a lot of time down here at the shop. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, good morning, John.
You know, the ice conditions are still good up there. We've got a little bit more snow now on top, but still not enough to even slow you down out there getting around.
Absolutely. Still favorable if anyone with an ATV or UTV and tires. I would still throw some chains on. It just makes things a little bit easier and life easy. So,
you know, as far as the reports, what have you been hearing down here at the shop? What have you been seeing? I know you've been out there a little bit, too.
Yeah, absolutely, John. Still holding a really good, strong panfish bite. You know, it's been a little bit of the deeper basins, but we are still finding some fish, you know, as shallow as 22, 24 feet of water too. These fish are moving, they're grazing, you got to keep moving too. You might get on one hole that's hot to trot for, you know, maybe 10, 15 fish, and then all of a sudden it goes quiet. You just got to keep moving. Definitely highlight feeding hours or, you know, your mornings and evenings, but it's no thing to find midday happy fish, as I like to refer to it as. You know, walleye fishing has been a little bit of a roller coaster, but anglers are still, you know, having fun getting out there and chasing them. Pike has definitely picked up a little bit. Even for myself, I kind of had a few struggling days out there, but, you know, we've had some days with clients where we've had a lot of good action on tip-ups and, you know, with northern pike, sucker minnows, and large shiners.
Back to the panfish. You mentioned the panfish a lot about deep basins, and a lot of times they're been on the bottom. So if you find them suspended, you usually got active fish, but you're not finding big numbers of them. It seems like you're finding a little, you know, a couple fish here, a couple fish there. They're kind of scattered around, which means, like you said, you got to move.
Yeah, you got to keep moving. I mean, you might find a pod of like 5-6 fish. You know, we had hit one bite window that as soon as we got 6 feet below the ice, trying to get down to fish in 20 feet, even with tungsten, they're already gone. It was actually, I mean, kind of about ready to pull my hair out of my head. But what we did is we actually, instead of moving too much, we actually kind of followed a steep break. We held true, stayed in one spot. And as that witching hour encroached, eventually we had fish move in. We caught a lot of fish within a short period of time and a lot of fish that were released too. So it was, you know, there are some ways that you may kind of have to judge by how that bite's going day to day.
Well, you know, no matter whether you're after crappies or you're after walleyes or northern pike, when you're out there in that deeper basin, a good chunk of the time those fish are moving, they're roaming all the time, it seems like.
Absolutely, John. And I think if you can, you know, if you got good mapping, you're able to find some of these bottlenecks and these pinch down points. And if you can find more of those secluded type basin aspects, you'll more than likely produce more fish to hand.
You know, we talked about the northern pike, and, you know, there's quite a few guys getting on a more northern pike out of the float. You're just telling me about guys that had 40 flags out there, but you know, they got that big contest for 29-8-19 out there too. That's they're encouraging some harvest to keep people to get them.
That's fantastic. It's fantastic. I mean, it encourages the anglers to get out there. You know, there's plenty of pike to go around out there too, as you know, John, and great opportunities to be able to win some prizes. You know, I think a lot of good family fun that could come with that, you know, because we are allowed up to 3 lines per angler, so.
And they're good eating. Actually, people think they're not, but they're actually, I think they're just as good as a walleye.
Oh, absolutely, John. It just all depends on how you want to prepare them.
You know, and the one thing that I noticed, and the DNR, I should say the DNR noticed out there, is when they did that big project on Lacouture where they netted a bunch of fish, it only took a year or two, and they started seeing an increase in the size of the pike real quick.
Absolutely. And that, I mean, over competition, that makes it tough for these fish to grow bigger, you know. So
yeah, they're competing with the other fish, and there's only so much food out there. I know you're down here at the shop quite a bit. Yeah, you guys got a lot of stuff in here for ice fishing and getting stuff in for the open water already. You got some sales going on some stuff?
Yeah, we still have some shacks remaining this winter, so we do have some sales going on the ice houses. We do have some sales going on augers as well, so if you're kind of been hee-hawing about maybe electric auger or something else or propane, we do still have some really awesome deals on those. So yeah, be certain to stop on in to check out what we have on sale and get a hot buy.
You know, and if somebody hears about some of the new product for this year out there for open water, you got information on that, or you may not have it in, but you can order, you can get it, whatever.
Yeah, a lot of very interesting stuff, you know, from Hummingbird, from Garmin. You know, I think it's going to be a really fun 2019 open water season, John.
I think so, too. I can hardly wait for it. I'll tell you what, I'll be out there sitting in my boat here next month kind of dreaming.
Oh, I'll be dreaming of my baby down at Power Sports while she's in hibernation yet.
I got mine sitting right where I look at it every day, though. That's worse yet. You know, can't forget about it.
That's a lucky thing, though. That's lucky, yes.
Eric, we're going to have to take a break right now, hear from some of our fine sponsors. Come back, we've got another interesting interview with our fish manager and biologist, Max Walter. So stay tuned, folks. We'll be back right after these messages.
Hunters and Anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in Hayward. They have a huge selection of ice fishing gear, including portable shelters, power augers, electronics, beaver dam tip-ups, ice rods, and just about anything you'll need for ice fishing. They also have archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzle loaders, ammo, and much more to help you enjoy the outdoors. While you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin, welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
The Hayward area is a snowmobiler's haven with over 600 miles of groomed trails. In the middle of it all, find Hayward Power Sports. We're open 7 days a week because the weekends are when you count on us the most. Hayward Power Sports has 14 people staffing our parts and service department. With the most up-to-date computer diagnostics and the most highly trained techs, nobody can get you back on the trail faster. Plus, with well over $1 million parts inventory, we're likely to have your parts in stock. Hayward Power Sports is your Polaris and Ski-Doo dealer with the region's best selection of new and used sleds. Plus, our showroom is packed full of garments and accessories. Check out our Polaris, Ski-Doo, Castle, and Climb. Find Polaris, Ski-Doo, and HJC helmets and necessities like wear rods, belts, Hyphax, and oil. Want to get back on the trail fast? Come see Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77 or online at haywardpowersports.com.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, call myself, John Myrie, at 715-462-9402. Or Art Malin at 715-865-2336. Or you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and helping co-host today, we've got fishing guide Eric Tuohy. And Eric, you know, the biologist we got back, we talk about him a lot because he has done a lot of stuff since he came here.
Yeah, we're really lucky. I know I can pop in and, you know, bug Max or shoot him a Facebook message even or email. And he's really great about just, you know, being insightful with information. So we are very lucky here in Sawyer County.
You know, we talked about a bunch of different stuff too. And the one thing I want to remind people about that is that on February 7th, he has that annual fisheries meeting too. We should remind people on that. If you haven't been to that meeting, boy, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of good information comes out at those things.
Absolutely, John.
Yeah, so that meeting, I'll remind folks again, it's February 7th. It'll be at the Hayward High School, and it will be at 6 p.m. So anyway, I've got an interview with him talking about another topic, though, because he gets into a lot of different projects, whether it be stocking fish or fish research, but also cover structure, you know, what we call it, whatever. They do these things called fish sticks, dropping trees, and you got to do a bunch of that on the floor, dropping trees in the water, too.
That's awesome.
I saw where he did a lot of that up there, west side of the flowage last year, along Banana Islands and stuff. There was a lot of trees.
Yeah,
there.
It creates some great fishing habitat. And so I'm excited to see where these are going to be going here this year, too.
And they're going to put a bunch more out there. Anyway, let's hear what he had to say about that on this good interview. And we come back with another interview and more on your outdoors. Max, you know, when it comes to your job as a biologist here, not just fish, looking at the fish and stocking and all the different things that go on there, but it has a lot to do with the habitat and some of the things in our lakes, too. One of the things has been these fish sticks things, adding wood to our lakes.
Yeah, that's been a big push. You know, that's a habitat type that was probably way more abundant before we started coming into the area and doing things like logging the shorelines and developing shorelines, building cabins, things like that. So fish don't have as much of that wood in the water as they used to. There's a lot of important functions for that. It's a spawning place for things like perch. It's a nursery area for panfish. It's a place where muskies go and hunt, bass as well. So we like seeing wood in the water. Anglers get excited, you know, if you're going along casting a shoreline, there's nothing there, nothing there. Yeah, now you got something, you know there's going to be fish on it. So we've been doing that for a number of years. Nelson Lake did quite a bit out there. We've actually been doing some on the triple flowage now too, and that's going to be our focus next week is going out, and I think we're doing about 5-6 miles of state-owned shoreline and putting some more trees in the water.
You know, and then down trees, you mentioned there was a lot more wood. I've seen some statistics that said back way before that we ever settled this country, there was something like an average of 500 pieces of wood or down trees every mile.
Isn't that hard to picture even?
Nobody would want that nowadays. I don't think they want that clean shoreline, but you know, clean shorelines with no wood don't equate to real good fish sometimes.
Yeah, we won't, I promise, we will not get back to 500 per mile, because that would really change everything. It would change the aesthetic, it would change people's ability to recreate and all that. We're looking at more like one tree every 50 feet, so maybe 100 per mile, something like that. That's kind of more of the way we've been working. But it creates really nice habitat for fish. The other thing that it does is it adds good nutrients into the lake. Trees are made up of carbon and phosphorus and nitrogen and things like that. And when you put a tree into the lake, bugs start coming and eating that stuff. And what likes to eat bugs?
Fish.
Yeah, panfish especially, some other fish. So that's why you see those bluegill glued right to the tree. They're looking for a little bug that might be weaseling around in the bark, and they'll pluck it right off there. So it's a very direct transition from that tree becoming fish and becoming, you know, fish biomass out there in the lake.
I know you look at certain types of trees too, and then on top of that, it's not a permanent fix because the trees deteriorate.
Exactly. Yep. We're selective in the trees that we use. We're looking for hardwoods primarily because they do stick around a little longer. They're not as acidic as our pine trees. And then in the triple flowage, we've got kind of this other aspect of the project too, which is trying to alleviate some of the erosion problems that we have on some of the islands and some of the shorelines. So if there's a tree that's starting to fall and that root wad is going to pull up a whole bunch more shore, we'll cut that tree ahead of time so that we can kind of take the pressure off that. And sometimes we're laying these trees down at an angle so that they're protecting that shoreline from wind and waves, and hopefully they can start getting reseeded. That erosion thing on the chip, I think, is something you'll hear more and more about. We're kind of trying to develop a team to tackle it, but erosion's not good in any way.
Whole islands can disappear, actually.
Right, yeah, that's, you know, that's sad. It's bad from an aesthetic standpoint, and if I'm thinking with my fish biologist hat on here, all that sand is covering up rocks and gravel and other things that we'd like to have fish spawning on. Sand isn't real productive to have out there as a bottom type. So.
Well, you know, when it comes to that wood in the water, most really good anglers and people that spend a lot of time fishing, they know, like we talked to you said earlier, it's something to cast that we know that's going to hold fish. The biggest problem I've seen over the years to get this to happen on lakes is sometimes convincing lakeshore property owners that we need to put wood in, because sometimes they want to take all the wood out. They want that shoreline pretty and clean, and to them, that wood is not aesthetically, you know, what they want to see.
That's a great point, and I'm glad you brought it up. So one of the other lakes we're going to be working on this winter is Grindstone, the state-owned islands on Grindstone. We're going to do some wood in the water work out there, and such a nice, clear, beautiful lake, you know, nice fishery. The idea there is that when folks are out enjoying the lake or fishing, you know, they're going to be able to come around those islands and see, oh, look, there's a tree in the water. Oh, there's a nice smallmouth swimming in there, and there's some crappies hanging on it, something like that. And they're going to get to kind of experience this on a trial basis, on a demonstration basis. And the idea is that maybe they'll start to think about that on their own property. Maybe they'll put a tree in. Maybe they'll just leave a tree if it falls naturally so that we can have that habitat type. Because, as you mentioned, a lot of our privately owned shorelines are really bare and sterile, and that is not great as far as fish production.
Most people are really concerned about the health of the lake. And the health of the lake is not necessarily having the cleanest lake or minus weeds and wood and everything else. The health of the lake is a good biological diversity of everything going on, and that includes fish, which means you're going to have cover, you got to have weeds, you got to have wood, everything else.
Absolutely, and that's kind of a mindset change that we're trying to put out there. And lake groups, I think, are getting on board with this. Individual property owners, we're seeing them come along, especially if they like fishing. You know, it's an easier sell if somebody really likes fishing. But we're trying to show this off, talk about benefits, make it easy as we can for people to do those types of projects, and we'll hope to see a lot more of it because it's great. You know, I went out and I helped guide some young people in the Hayward Bass Club tournament last summer, and that's where we went. We went right to all the trees in the water that my team had put there, and we had the kids fishing them, and they caught bass, and there was bluegill. One kid had a muskie hooked up for a few seconds, so it's a nice thing as far as creating instant fishable habitat.
I know one particular lake I could think of up here where they wanted to, some people wanted to do some shoreline wood and dry tree drops and stuff, and the property owners kind of, you know, they said, well, we don't like the looks of that. I heard one guy say, yeah, well, I'm finally getting where I can drive down the lake without running into a piece of wood out there in the lake, but can we do something else? Let's put some cribs out in deep water. Well, not sometimes that's the opposite thing what they should be doing. We need to look at what I think the biologists recommend should be done, not what we think we want to see.
Yeah. And, you know, if I'm just generally talking about kind of the cribs versus fish sticks thing, you can look at, you know, what do we already have a lot of in our lakes? Cribs, especially some of our lakes. They've been kind of cribbed to death now. So that habitat type is not lacking. If that's what the fish need, they've got it.
They use that certain times of the year, and other times they want that shoreline.
Exactly. But if you look at the shorelines of our lakes, and we've done surveys of the amount of wood out there, that is a habitat type that is almost lacking almost everywhere, especially anywhere that the lake's been highly developed.
Interesting things for people to think about there, Max. I want to thank you for coming on. You've done a great job here as a biologist here in the area.
Well, thanks. And I'll just mention, you know, if people are interested in that after hearing this, we definitely recommend people working through their lake association to kind of develop some lake-wide projects. We don't expect people to be the only place in the lake that has a tree in front of their dock, because then they're going to get a lot of visitors. So do a big project. Spread everything out.
Do the research and find out that it works rather than take a mindset that I don't want to see this. Do the research, find out it's worked in other areas, and then work with your association.
Exactly. A lot of great resources on the DNR website, too.
Max, thank you again for coming on here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, as usual, Max is always very interesting to listen to. We need to take another break right now and hear from even more of our fine sponsors. And when we return, we'll have an interview and wrap up on the show.
OC Outfitters has everything to keep you warm and active this winter. Clothing, socks, boots, and outerwear, plus a full selection of ice fishing equipment, including Mr. Bunny propane heaters, minnow buckets, ice shacks, tip-ups, jig poles, and of course, live and artificial bait. All this and much more, including alfalfa and deer corn, at OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open daily at 8 a.m. Call 715-634-1044.
The most common bills you can't prepare for are vehicle repairs and medical expenses. Quick Check in Hayward is here to help when you're a little short. Get the cash you need today when the unexpected happens between paydays. Keep your utilities on. Avoid late fees and overdraft charges. When there's too much month at the end of your money, Quick Check is the safe, secure, and easy way to get you the emergency funds you need. Quick Check, next to Hayward Bait and Tackle. 715-634-9753.
Pet owners, if there's a word better than inexpensive, it's free. Hayward Animal Hospital has always offered a free wellness exam with the vaccination of your pet. Your cat or dog will be given the highest quality and most comprehensive vaccines available to ensure continued protection against a variety of diseases with no hidden exam fees. The next time your pet needs vaccinations, consider a free wellness exam and Dr. Ostrander's over 30 years of experience. Hayward Animal Hospital is located on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and helping co-host today is none other than Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy. And Eric, you know, we talked about a lot of things, and sometimes I get some pretty big names on here. And the guy I'm going to have talking here, I've had him on there before, but he's going to talk about ice fishing walleyes. It's Gary Parsons' son, Chase Parsons. I don't know if you ever had a chance to meet Chase.
I haven't had a chance to meet him, no. But
pretty aggressive young fisherman, and he's got some good tips on winter walleyes, ice fishing walleyes. So let's hear that little interview, and when we come back, we're going to be talking more about your outdoors and the fishing. Talking to Chase Parsons, and Chase, any tips that you can give listeners out there on finding and catching walleyes in the wintertime?
Yeah, I mean, that's always the tough thing about walleyes is, they, you know, in the winter, I live down by Green Bay, so, you know, I do a lot of the walleye fishing on the ice on Winnebago and things like that. And obviously, it's real important to look at the structure areas for walleyes, but many times in bodies of water like that, the fish are very nomadic in that they're basically relating to bait fish, things like that, and a lot of times they're out in the mud, so there's really nothing other than moving a lot. You know, it's a little bit unlike fishing for panfish where you set up on a weed line and you can catch a ton of them because they're just stacked in there. Very, very rarely do you come into a situation like that with walleyes. So the biggest key is to stay mobile, move a lot, use your electronics a lot. I mean, we use our Lowrance stuff even on the ice. It's fantastic. And the nice thing is when you do find walleyes, they are typically a schooling fish. You can usually catch a few of them, but really staying mobile is the key thing. I mean, I'll be honest, and we'll all be honest, in walleye fishing, especially with the ice, it's not as easy to move as when we're in a boat. So right. There are many days where it takes some time to find them, whether it is on a deep rock structure, which are always good areas to look for, or in some situations, like maybe even Lake of the Woods, for instance. Those fish are out in the mud, they're roaming. So it's just key to set up on the right areas, move around until you're marking them, and then usually you can put a few of them in the shack.
It's a lot easier now, though, than it was years ago. You're a younger guy, but going back in my day, I mean, we didn't have the equipment or the power augers.
Yeah, you know, and that is kind of funny. I mean, I still, I am young enough that I've had technology pretty much the whole time I've been doing this in terms of, like you said, power augers. So, like I said, staying mobile is the key thing. Obviously, it's a lot easier to stay mobile with power augers because you can drill so many holes versus a manual one. So it's really nice that way. And electronics is also key. I mean, there obviously has been flashers around for a long time. But what we'll do, whether it's ice fishing or open water, is our electronics are so key into what we're doing, where especially in ice fishing, I mean, a fish cannot get away from you on one of those. So if you're not marking fish, I move. And it's as simple as that. And technology has done that. And, you know, especially some of the new ones, you can get the underwater cameras hooked up to them, things like that. It's pretty crazy where just even in the 10 years I've been in it, where it's come to. And technology just allows you to get on fish a little bit quicker, which is pretty nice, especially when it's cold out there.
And with the GPS we've got now, as accurate as it is, you can get back on that spot.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, and the GPS still, you know, with ice fishing, I find is so key. Being able to look at the different structures in the lakes that you're going to, rather than just going out there and saying, all right, I'm going to go over here and drill a few holes and see what depth it is, things like that. I mean, the contours on the electronics we use now, you know, the mapping systems are so sophisticated with the different chips that we have to put in those things that we literally know if we're going to be on the north end of a reef, if we're going to be on the bottom edge of a drop, things like that. So, you know, once again, all that stuff just allows you to get in areas a lot quicker that may actually be holding fish instead of wasting time where you're trying to just find the reef. Now you can literally find exactly the depth on that reef that you want to drill holes in and know that when you drill the holes, you're going to be exactly where you want to be, which is a key to both open water and ice fishing.
Interesting stuff, and I want to thank you for coming out here, Chase.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Well, he's interesting to listen to, but, you know, the other thing I want to talk about here is winter perch fishing. I mean, the perch are really, you know, we've got more perch around here than what people think, but they're really kind of hard sometimes to track down in the winter. They move a lot, and they're down deep, and they don't like to come up where you can see them all that easy on a depth finder sometimes, like crappies, where they don't suspend very often.
Yeah, they generally are hugging that bottom really well. There's a number of techniques to approach them, and, you know, some lakes, you know, we're starting to see some really nice-sized perch coming through now. So.
Yeah, what kind of tips can you give people? Because I'll give a couple here, too.
Well, one thing that's known is pound the bottom. You know, if you have some heavier jig on or spoon, you can pound the bottom, create a little bit of a dust cloud. You know, they find some interest in it. It draws some fish in, and there are days where loud rattle chambers or, you know, the perch talker, different types of chandelier style baits that create more noise. VMC's got a new rocker spoon that we have here at the bait shop. It's kind of like your perch talker, your Haley's. It's a spoon that has a unique kind of wobble flutter, yeah. And that dropper chain with a little glow bead on there. You load that up with the minnow heads, you know, spikes or waxies. And I think that's going to be one of my go-tos this year.
You know, and you mentioned pound the bottom too, is one of the key things too, is you really want to look for that soft bottom area. Learn to recognize what that soft bottom, your depth finder will tell you that if you know what to look for in your signal, for whether it's a flasher or whether it's a graph like a Hummingbird Helix or something. But that soft bottom, that's where the food's coming out of. And one of the favorite foods of these fish out there, there's a lot of bloodworms out there, and they're feeding on those things. And you got to get, and that's why they're on the bottom, because that stuff's down there what they're eating.
Yep, absolutely. And you'll have other bugs like mayflies and other things that hatch. But going off that bloodworm, you think about that bloodworm. Red is a fantastic color to have down there for perch especially.
And the other thing, too, you know, you plastics work, but sometimes waxies are good on a perch, I found. And the other thing that almost always seems to work on perch is minnows. I mean, and sometimes a lot bigger minnow than you think. And people think about perch, we use a little crappie-sized minnow. And I've caught some awful nice perch on nice-sized shiner minnows.
Oh, gosh, I had a guy laughing the other day about a perch on a tip-up that tripped the flag and took a whole walleye sucker.
Yeah, well, we had one the other day did that too. I mean, on Round Lake, we had one that actually had two of them that grabbed walleye shiners. I mean, they just tripped the tip up, and the little kid was with us, had a ball pulling them in. It was a fish of fish, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Eric, you know, we're kind of running out of time here on the show. We're wrapping up here. I know you guide, and as do I. Anybody who's looking for guide information, you want to give out your guide information right now?
Absolutely. If anyone would like to get on the hard water and chase either some panfish, pike, or walleye, they can reach me at 612-384-9127.
And we got enough guides here that come in and out of the shop today. If you got a big group or something, we could put together enough guides to take care of that, too.
Oh, absolutely. We're a great community up here, and it's great to have a great community of guides that, you know, work together, work hard, but work smarter too.
Eric, thank you for coming on here. And folks, you know, if you miss a show, that show will wind up within a few days on our podcast site, and then you find that at wnoradio.net, and from there you can link through to the podcast site, to the YouTube channel, a lot of good information, and we try to keep people informed as to what's going on in the
the Hayward area. We're out of time for this week, and we'll see you again next week.
Come on along, listen with me. I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.